everyone, and thank you to Wigan for this invitation. It's good to be back here in London, especially for ICE. And Brazil is a land of opportunities, but a very, very difficult country to do business in. So first we have to understand, before we talk about online gaming specifically, we need to understand about Brazil and what the background is. Brazil is the largest Catholic country in the world. We have 206 million people at the moment, and most are Catholic. So this has had a very, very strong influence on gaming legislation since the 1940s. Because gaming, generally, except for the state lottery, and also for certain types of horse race betting, is prohibited in Brazil. This is both for land-based and online gaming. And this goes back to the 1940s, where the wife, nicknamed Holy Hand, influenced her husband to pass legislation prohibiting gaming altogether. The last roulette game was played at the Copacabana Palace Hotel in Rio de Janeiro, very famous, and that was at the beginning of the 1940s. So the main piece of legislation that we have to date in Brazil is this criminal contraventions law. In Brazil, we have two types of criminal offenses. We have crimes, and we have criminal contraventions. So a criminal contravention is a less serious crime. It's a misdemeanor. So the punishment, the sanctions, are less serious. And so this is where games of chance fall into under the criminal contraventions law. We have had other laws over the years, but this is still the main piece of legislation. So religion back in the 1940s made gambling prohibited altogether. We have had some comebacks over the years, especially during the Lula administration, our former president. We had bingo parlors for a few years, but then those were also shut down. So at the moment, the only forms of gaming that we have is the state-run lottery and scratch cards called Lotex. It's operated by the government savings bank. It's called Caixa Econômica Federal. So that is a very important name to have in mind because it is mentioned in the legislation. And we have the horse race betting at authorized racetracks. And the law, the criminal contraventions law, it defines what a game of chance, what gaming and betting is. And the concepts there are two main concepts. It is where games are dependent exclusively or mainly on luck. So luck has to have a driving factor in the result of the game. And second, it must be exploited in a public venue or place, location, or one accessible by the public. So when we come to online gaming, the main discussions we have had is whether or not the internet falls into the definition of the criminal contravention law. And in my view, and this has been already tested in Brazil, both judicially and also at the CONAR itself, a regulatory advertising body, the internet is considered to be probably the most universal accessible place by the public. So even though the legislation dates back to 1941, by the time of course nobody would have thought about what the internet is, it is sufficiently broad to cover the internet and therefore online gaming. And this was reinforced just a couple of years ago when the law was changed and additional restrictions were introduced, specifically mentioned that a player, if caught betting, would be fined and imprisoned, even if the betting was done on the internet. So that reinforces the argument that indeed online gaming is covered by the current legislation. Although we'll see later on in my presentation, there is a case law that, a judicial case being fought now at the Supreme Court of Brazil that could have an influence on the gaming sector in Brazil because there's a state in South Brazil called Rio Grande do Sul, that's the Gaucho land where the cowboys come from, where they have great steak. And I know we have a colleague from Rio Grande do Sul here in the audience today. And they have, let's say, a different approach to law in Rio Grande do Sul. They have a school called alternative law. So they do things a bit differently there. And what they are saying is many courts in Rio Grande do Sul have said that gaming, all types of gaming, are not illegal. Why? Because this criminal contraventions law would not have been received by the Constitution of 1988. So in their view, there is no legislation banning gaming altogether. So this started, it was a piece of litigation in Guangzhou. It's now gone to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has given this case what we call general repercussion. So it's something that will have an effect nationwide in Brazil. And so this may also be a catalyst for the two bills of law that I'm going to talk about that are at Congress, maybe to fast track those bills, because the last thing the government wants is indeed for this type of judicial decision to prevail in the country. So yes, at the moment, the more conservative approach is, based on the criminal contraventions law, that there is a total ban on gaming and betting in Brazil, except for the state lottery and the horse race betting. So we have two bills currently underway, seeking to legalize. So we have had many bills over the last few decades, both trying to prohibit definitively or legalize gaming in Brazil. And for those that aim to legalize gaming, these are the two main bills. One of them is at the House of Representatives, which dates back to 1991. Yes, it is a very old bill, more than 15 years. So you can see how this has been being discussed for a long, long time. And also a more recent one, which is backed by the federal government, which is at the Senate, which is Bill 186. So these are the two main pieces of proposed legislation. We got happier last year in 2016 because there seemed to be developments in these bills of law. Things seemed to be moving faster. However, they were halted, especially because of the impeachment process that you may have heard of. So last year, President Dilma, who was President Lula's successor, she was impeached and put aside, and the Vice President, Michel Temer, has assumed the presidency until the end of his mandate, which is at the end of next year, 2018. So Congress was focusing on impeachment. With the President impeached, then lots of legislative reform, whether it be Social Security and other areas that need urgent reform, are now back to the spotlight. So this includes potentially the legalization of gaming. And while, as you saw, gaming has been prohibited now for more than 70 years, there has never been a better chance for gaming to be legalized in Brazil than now. And not only with the political scene more or less under control, and it's important to mention that last week there were elections for the President of the House of Representatives and the President of the Senate. And so the two politicians who were elected are not only pro-gaming, but they're also aligned with the government. And the federal government, President Temer, he is also pro-gaming. So politically speaking, there is, let's say, the underlying base to approve gaming. And also the Brazilian economy, which is going through its hardest times in decades, really needs the additional revenues, the additional taxes, the additional jobs. So there has never been such a good environment to really move forward and improve gaming altogether in Brazil. The two setbacks traditionally have been, as I said, religion, and not only from the Catholic Church, but more recently we have a very strong evangelical bench at Congress. And they oppose gaming because of the gaming addictions that can result from the industry. And also there's strong opposition by the Public Prosecution Service, which is against gaming altogether, because traditionally gaming in Brazil, unauthorized gaming, has walked hand in hand with organized crime and unfortunately money laundering. So especially we have a game in Brazil, which was created in the 19th century, it's called Jogo do Bicho. Jogo do Bicho translates literally into English as animal game. And why? Because it was a game based on numbers. You would bet on certain animals and it was created in a zoo in Rio de Janeiro in the late 19th century. So this is a very, it's the street lottery, so to say. And this is a very powerful organization in Brazil, but most of the time it has been backed by drug users, organized crime. So this is why there has always been a very negative connotation to gaming in Brazil. In terms of the two bills, the House of Representatives bill is by far much more detailed. It has had more thinking done on it. It's been around for 15 years. It has suffered many amendments. So potentially, or from a technical perspective, it's much richer in terms of the details and how things should operate. And it regulates all forms of both land-based and also online gaming. The Senate bill is a shorter text. It does address as well online gaming, as well as other traditional forms of land-based. Unfortunately, both bills have some inconsistencies, and they're not very well worded when it comes to online gaming. And the reasons for that are that, let me just go to the slide. So, the problems here are that in the Senate bill, as I said, the Senate bill is the one that has government support at the moment. It provides for a governmental monopoly, apparent governmental monopoly of online gaming by the Caixa Econômica Federal. The Caixa Econômica Federal is the government, the federal government savings bank I mentioned before. And there is a specific article in this bill saying that online gaming can only be operated by the Caixa Econômica or its subsidiaries. However, there is another section of the law which says that all forms of gaming can be operated either through the Caixa Econômica Federal or by concession. So it seems to be inconsistent. There are two articles in the same bill which seem to contradict each other. So there isn't much clarity in the Senate bill whether indeed this is going to be a state monopoly or not. Also, in the House of Representatives bill 442, it also has some obscurities because when it addresses online gaming, it has two main articles. One of them addresses fixed odds betting, whether on sporting events or non-sporting events. And then it also talks about electronic betting as betting conducted on any form of channel, whether internet, telephone, other channels. And the funny thing is that the first type of fixed odds betting, apparently it can only be conducted at the physical establishment of licensed land-based operators. So it seems to be not in line with what online gaming actually is, unless there's a clear separation between fixed odds betting and indeed other forms of electronic betting. If indeed electronic betting is your general online betting, then there's a possibility that indeed licenses will be available for operators interested in online gaming. But the law does restrict that online operators be duly incorporated in Brazil, so you will need to set up a company in Brazil with headquarters in Brazil. The law sets out many corporate requirements for the company, for the shareholders, and the House of Representatives bill even goes one step forward and says that the servers used must also be located in Brazil. So in terms of online, we have had many issues over the past 10 years. We have had cases, as I mentioned, at the CONAR, which is a self-regulatory advertising agency. It's a non-judicial entity, so it controls advertising campaigns in Brazil. It can apply for campaigns to be stopped, and it has done that for certain online gaming campaigns in the past at football stadium, on TV, and on the internet. And one case actually was tested in court, and Cornell actually won. It managed to uphold its decision in court based on the criminal contraventions law that I mentioned, that indeed covers online gaming because of the definition it contains, the game of chance, and also the location being in a public place or one accessible by the public. One breakthrough that there has been over the years has been in relation to poker. We discuss poker a lot. Nowadays, more conservatively, poker is not regarded as a game of chance anymore in Brazil, especially Texas Hold'em. But the poker tournament and poker operators, they suffered a lot in Brazil for many years because they would set up a tournament and the police would come and close down the operation. In many states now, there's no risk anymore of this happening, but there are still states in Brazil where this is possible based on the criminal contravention law. But these poker operators, they went out and they managed to get certain forensic reports from high profile experts in Brazil, showing that scientifically, indeed, poker is more a game of skill rather than a game of chance. And so the general feeling in Brazil is now that poker is outside of the scope of the criminal contraventions law and therefore illegal. And the bills of law that I mentioned, they specifically mention that poker is a game of skill. So at the moment, while there is potential problem if you are an online operator willing to access Brazil on non-poker games, if it's poker, you're generally okay for the time being. The only thing you have to take into account, Brazil does have in its legislation the ability to cut payment streams, whether by credit card or other forms of wire transfer, based on illicit operations. And the money laundering legislation that was enacted in 2012 went one step further. Nowadays, before, money laundering was when money was moved from the proceeds of crime, specifically crime. I mentioned at the beginning of my presentation that in Brazil you have two forms of criminal activity, crimes and criminal contraventions. Now, the money laundering legislation enacted in 2012 says that the movement of funds deriving from any illicit activities is considered money laundering, and money laundering is a crime. So even if we're talking about money deriving from criminal contraventions, you may also face a money laundering problem as well. So you have to take a lot of care. We haven't seen to date any concrete attempts by the law enforcement agents to really clamp down on online gaming or blocking gaming so far.
Didn't think we were going to make it with Kieran Storm, could we?
We haven't seen that enforcement today. But hopefully, with these new bills of law, hopefully one of them will be converted into law. And if that is going to happen, as I said, it would have to happen this year because next year, 2018, it's going to be an election year in Brazil. So we're going to elect our new president. So nothing much happens in an election year. 2016, nothing much happened because of impeachment. So if something's going to happen, it has to be in this window of 2017. So that's why lawyers like myself, who have been following up the legislative developments over the years, are looking very closely to what happened this year. And fingers crossed, Brazil does need additional funds, additional taxes, additional jobs. We are suffering our worst crisis so far, and so hopefully this year we will see some development. And hopefully, while the bills of law, they mostly cater for traditional land-based casino, resort, bingo parlors, lottery types of activities, this will also hopefully benefit especially if the dose of law, whichever one is converted into law, has very clear articles and provisions addressing online gaming and allowing online gaming operators to obtain licenses to operate here in Brazil. So just to finalize, a quick mention of the Supreme Court issue. As I said, this may have also a great impact on the industry in Brazil, because the judges in Rio Grande do Sul, the Gaucho land I mentioned, believe that gaming at the moment is not illegal because the criminal contraventions law would not have been received by the Constitution, and therefore, while not regulated, it wouldn't be illegal. But of course, the more conservative approach, and this has already been tested in other courts, especially in more sophisticated traditional states like São Paulo, is that indeed gaming is still totally banned in Brazil, except for the state-run lottery and of course race betting as well. But we'll have to see what this. Maybe this can act as a catalyst in trying to get Congress to approve one of the bills quicker. But in a nutshell, that's more or less what I had to say today, and I'm open for questions later on.